We're together in this unique way, but we do pray as time stretches on and things somewhat change very, very gradually, that you find encouragement in the Lord and find peace from the Lord. Right now, as I'm looking out the window, it's a beautiful day outside. We thank the Lord for His kindness to us in so many different ways in the midst of things that are unsettling. But let's just ask the Lord to bless our time, to guide us, and may we be used of Him to accomplish His will. Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your kindness to us. We thank You for the way that You do bless each day, the many things that we never notice, observe, or even think about, but we thank You how You attend to our needs in so many different ways. But Father, we still know that there are trials and tragedies, and we need Thee every hour. And we pray that our time together will just focus our attention back on You, and allow You to be our resource for all that we face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we extend our time along this season with this virus, but through all of the seasons of life, even this is unique because it affects our whole world, but every person in the world has a trial. And many have tragedy. So the question for us, and we started this last week, but where do we look for our security in the midst of a world that is shaking, unstable, and often turbulent? One has stated, "The hope that the world offers is fleeting and imperfect. The hope that God offers is unchanging, unshakable, and unending. It is no wonder, then, that when we seek security from worldly sources, our hopes are often dashed and our stresses are often increased." So where are you looking? Where am I looking for security? In the psalm that we looked at last week and continue this week, Psalm 62, a beautiful portion of God's Word, David is stressed. He's in threat. There are those who want to kill him, take his life out. Where does he find his security? David states in Psalm 62, verse 5, "My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him." My hope is from Him. Wait in silence. And David said this twice in this psalm. In verse 2, "He only is my rock and my salvation." Remember in verse 5 it said, "My soul wait in silence for God only." Well, why? He only is my rock and my salvation. And then in verse 6, he repeats that statement. He only is my rock and my salvation. The Lord is where we need to look. And we read these words, "On God." And this is where we look at it, verse 7, as we begin our time this morning. "On God, my salvation and my glory rest." My salvation is dependent on God. Now, David has already looked at the threat. In verses 3 and 4, again, just for a tad bit of review, his enemies were trying to take his life. Probably his very own son, Absalom, is the context, the situation that David is being faced with. And close advisors had betrayed him, those who smiled in one way and deceived him behind his back. One has said, It was right to speak frankly of the traitors and their plots in the first stanza. Now it is David's wisdom to brood on them no longer. He fills his thoughts with God. What do we fill our thoughts with? I'm sure we're all drawn at times to think in dark, dark ways about frustrating and hard situations. And we have to be honest. David was honest about those who were trying to take his life, about the tragedy that he was facing. But he focused intentionally on the Lord in the midst of what could have been so distracting. And of course, this is where we need to focus as well, on God, my salvation. Now, he is our salvation first and foremost from our sins. God is the only Savior. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And we need to be saved from our sins and the implications of death, separation from God. And if you trusted Christ, what a wonderful Savior you have. But also, and in the context of Psalm 62, he is my salvation in the midst of my situation. In David's situation, it was those who wanted to take his life. Maybe your situation is entirely different, and it's a health issue or a financial issue, maybe a family issue. But God is the one who is my salvation, our salvation in the midst of our situation. And notice he says, and glory on God, my salvation and my glory rest. Now, David, as the king, is reflecting and thinking about the glory when he is returned to his throne as king. But in pondering this, I was thinking, what application would this have for us? Obviously, we're not going to be a king on a throne, except we're priests and kings in a spiritual sense. But you know, I was thinking of our glory. Not that we're supposed to shine and get credit. The credit goes to God. But God has a purpose for us. And for David, it was to be a king. But he has a purpose for each one of us. Now, it has multi-facets to it. But God has things for you to do and accomplish. And as we go through life and we go through our frustrations and our challenges and difficulties, God is our Savior. He is our salvation and our glory. In other words, he will allow us, as we trust in him, to accomplish and fulfill the purpose that he has for us. God loves us, and he wants to accomplish eternal things, things of eternal consequence in and through our lives. So as we trust in him, not only can we get through the situation, but we can accomplish what God has designed us to do, the purpose and purposes he has for us. What an encouraging thing. You know, trials do not have to stop us from doing what God has designed for us. Now, as we ponder on, it says in that same verse, verse 7, on God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, the rock of my strength. You think of standing on someplace solid, a rock, and a picture of security, safety. The rock of my strength, the Lord is the rock of my strength. As one that says, God's strength and safety are the basis upon which David's own strength rests. You know, can we get through this? Can we handle this? Can we get through today and into tomorrow? The Lord is the rock of my strength, of our strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For the believer, isn't that a wonderful reality? And then he says, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. My refuge is in God. My shelter from danger. My shelter. You know, I think one of the things that we see in our world right now, when we think of the pandemic and we think of all the things that go around and all the difficulties, you know, so many people are just so stressed because it's evident to them their life is fragile. And many, many people, people who don't know the Lord, don't have a refuge. And so there's this time in our history, is everything is shaking like we're in an earthquake. And they have no place to run. But if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have refuge. My refuge is in God. And so, yeah, the world is shaken, but we're standing on a rock. And God wants to remind us, our refuge is in God Himself. And David obviously trusted in the sheltering protection of God. Now, as we think of trust, there was a little story. It's been around a long time. Maybe you've heard it. There was a local parks commission, and they had ordered individuals to take out some trees in this area so they could widen the road. And so there were trees along both sides, and they needed to clear them so they could move and have more place to put pavement down and increase the size of the road structure. And so the men came, and they were getting ready to, you know, cut these trees. Well, they came to one tree, and there was a robin that you could see she had built a nest, and she was in that nest. And it reminds me, we had the very same, had a robin out right outside our door who built a nest. Well, the man who was the foreman apparently was somewhat of a compassionate man. So he said to those who were doing all the work, he says, "Okay, guys, let's don't cut this tree down yet. Let's just let it stand. We'll go on and do some other work. We'll come back later." Well, they came back later to the same site, same tree, and the same robin was in the nest, but now she had baby robins. And so she had these little ones that, well, this foreman, who obviously was, again, compassionate, he said to his workers, he said, "Okay, we got some other work we can do. Let's let this tree stand. We'll go and we'll come back later." Well, then they came back a third time. And, the mama robin was gone. The babies had grown and flown. And anyway, so they cut the tree down. And then when the tree came down, and the nest is just kind of, you know, hit and then rolled, and one of the workers went over and he picked up the nest, just kind of looking at it, and then there was a little white thing in the bottom of the nest, and a little piece of paper. So he just, out of curiosity, he just kind of pulled it apart and lifted that thing up. And lo and behold, it's a little Sunday school piece of paper that a young child would probably, you know, walking home, the wind caught it and blew away. But it said this: "We trust in the Lord our God. We trust in the Lord our God." Now the question is, what are you trusting in? You know, it's so easy to trust the wrong things. And God loves his kids, and he'll take care of his kids. Notice what it says. This is an exhortation to us, and we all need this, an exhortation to trust God only. Trust in him. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Trust in him at all times. Trust. Notice, O people. David had earlier, in the first part of Psalm 62, had exhorted himself. He was challenging himself to trust, find his security in the Lord. And now he applies, you know, David has, he had applied this first to his life, and now he exhorts all people, which obviously by application includes all of us. he's exhorting us as well as himself. You know, David wasn't, you know, do as I say but not as I do kind of guy. He was saying, you know, I've done this, you do this. Trust in the Lord, O people. And he challenges us. And the application comes right down to today. Interesting word, trust. It's a Hebrew word, batak. It's a beautiful word. It has the idea of trust or depend, rely upon, put your weight upon, is the idea. Put your weight upon the Lord. Find your security in the Lord. And of course, it's so easy not to do that, isn't it? There's a little story of a senior, and he had one of his birthdays, and he was getting older, and one of his younger cousins, who was a pilot, said to his uncle, he said, you know, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a ride on an airplane, and we'll fly over. We'll fly over the little community, and the community that he lived in was in West Virginia. And so this little community, and he said, I'll take you up, and we'll just spend maybe half an hour flying over. And you can see the sights from above. He had never flown, and so I think his name was Uncle Dudley. I'm not quite sure he wanted to take him up on his offer, but he decided he would. So, and he got in with his younger cousin, and they took off, right? I'm sure he was a little bit, if you've never done this, the first time, especially in a single plane, you're thinking, what did I just say yes to? And so he's taken off. And anyway, they it was probably a day like today, a beautiful day. And they flew around West Virginia over this area of this little community. And so maybe 30 minutes later, they landed. And one of Uncle Dudley's friends said, "What did you think? What did you think? Were you scared?" And Uncle Dudley says, "No." But then Uncle Dudley said, "But I never put my full weight down." You know what? A lot of us are like Uncle Dudley. We haven't put our full weight down upon the Lord. We're not quite sure we can trust him in all the circumstances of life. But God says, trust in him. And notice, at all times. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times we go through life, and a friend of mine was telling me this just last week. You go through life, and you know, things are going pretty well. And, you know, and in any case, he's a Christian, and he's going on for the Lord, and, you know. But he told me, he's hit a rough spot right now. But he said, you know, I realized as I look back, you know, I wasn't trusting the Lord like I thought I was. But we're to trust the Lord when things are going well and when things are stressful. And that's where he calls us to trust him in the delightful days, just like today. It's a beautiful day outside. Trust him in the beautiful days. And you know what? That prepares us for the difficult days. Trust him at all times. Trust him at all times. So put the weight upon the Lord as we're going through the day. You know what? We need him. We need him every hour, and we need him throughout all the hours of our life. And then it says this. And remember, David's in a difficult circumstance when he's writing this. He says, pour out. This is verse 8 again. Pour out your heart before him, before the Lord. You know this word, pour out. Obviously, it implies distress. We're pouring out our Lord to the Lord. We're pouring out our heart to him in prayer. Pouring it out. That implies that there's a hard situation. There's a lot of emotion in this situation. I'm reminded of another passage that indicates, and it uses a different word, but has a similar concept. This is in Psalm 102, verse 1. It says, a prayer of the afflicted. Now, maybe that's where you feel you're at. A prayer of the afflicted. When he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Then it says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Now, when we're trusting the Lord, It doesn't mean everything's always going to be smooth and easy, no bumps. No, sometimes our heart is going to be heavy, and life is going to be difficult, and we're going to be struck with sadness. And at that time, though, we're called to pour out our heart before the Lord. We pour it out in our brokenness at times. But when we call unto the Lord, and this kind of prayer is a prayer of faith, because even in the midst of the hard times, we're trusting Him. We're putting our full weight upon Him. Trust in the Lord. Pour your heart out. And maybe today that's exactly what you need to do, is just pour out your heart to Him. Say, God, this has been a rough week. This has been a rough month. This has been a hard year. I cry out to you. I cast my burden upon you because I know you care for me. We pour our heart out to Him in faith. And it says, he highlights this concept, why we can trust Him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. He's that shelter. And I know I've talked about it on various occasions. But coming from tornado country where I was raised in, I remember my dad always provided a shelter, a place we could run to if there was a tornado. And you know what? We have something far greater than a tornado shelter. God is our shelter from the twisters of life. God is a refuge for us. For all of us who know Him, for all of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior, He is our refuge. And you know what? We would just encourage you, plead with you. If you've never trusted Christ, if you never put your faith in Him, maybe you haven't given much thought to it, or maybe you were raised in a Christian home, and you heard all through the years, you heard about the Lord Jesus, and you heard that He came into the world, He died on the cross, He rose from the dead, but you've kind of ignored the whole thing. But you know what? God loves you, Christ died for you, and He invites you to trust His Son to be your Savior. May that be true. And so when you start that, when you do that, you start a journey, because we don't just trust the Lord and that's, you know, it's a done deal. We're all done. We'll wait for heaven. No, no. We trust Him to be saved by Him. And then we trust Him as we journey through life. We continue to get to know Him and find ways that we can count on Him through His word. And we trust Him. He's our refuge. Now, the danger is, though, as we go through, if we really are not focused on the Lord, you know, we're not much in the Word, you know, we don't attend church much, all that stuff's kind of, it seems insignificant to us. The danger is that when we get in hard spots, we tend to trust the wrong things. And none of us are exempt from this. It's easy for us to be looking in the wrong places to find security. Notice what it says in verse 9. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. You know, it's easy to look to a human being to try to help solve our problem. Men of low degree. Well, as one has said, in vivid contrast to that sure help and refuge which are found in God, the psalmist now places the weakness and worthlessness of man's strength as our resource. And notice, it's not, and a lot of times we think, well, this person, you know, they're nice, but they can't really help me. But if we see a person, let's say they have political power, or they have, you know, they have money, or they have prestige, we think, oh man, if only they were on my side, they could get me out of this mess. Men of rank are a lie. They're a false confidence, is the idea. They're a false confidence. They can't ultimately, they're ultimately not able to save us from our greatest needs. We're looking to the wrong source when we look to the wrong object for our security. Notice it says in verse 9 again, in the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. In the balances, they don't have any weight. They together, all of them, you put all the men, all of them, you line them up, you put them all together, they're lighter than breath, like a vapor, a vapor. They make no genuine impact on our problem. As one has said, put them in the scales in the way that it would be used as a measurement of how much something weighed. Put them in the scales, and up they go, lighter than a puff of wind. You know, it reminds me of probably this happened to most of us when we were in grade school. You're on the playground and doing the teeter-totter thing, right? You're just a little kid, and you've got somebody else on the other end of your teeter-totter. And of course, maybe this shows how old I am, but anyway, and you're on one end, and your, quote, friend's on the other end, and all of a sudden, he gets a great idea. I'm going to jump off. So he jumps off his end, and bam, his end goes up, and you go down, lighter than breath. And a lot of people are trusting the wrong thing, and bam, they go down. God says, oh, don't trust in the wrong source for your security. Trust in me. Do not trust. Notice, this is an interesting thing. Do not trust in oppression. Do not vainly hope in robbery. You know, people trust sometimes in abusive power, using power in wrong ways, and they think, oh, and then if I can, you know, if I just had enough money, so they think, you know, people are willing to lie and steal. Have you noticed that the crime has increased during this period of time? What is the motivation of that? Well, I'm sure there's lots of things we could think about. But people a lot of times think, if I can just rip somebody off and get more money, then I'll be more secure. I have what I need. And God's ahead of the game on this. He knows how we think. He says, do not trust in oppression and do not vainly hope in robbery. Don't go there. And then he says, Then he adds to that, if riches increase, now of course he's not wanting riches to increase by theft, but even if riches increase by honest gain, you know, you're a hard worker, you've done well, you've made some money, even if riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. What? Don't trust in them. Don't love them or trust them to be your ultimate object of security. You know, it says in Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall. Think of all the people who have had tons of money. And you read their life story and you see the end of their life and you realize everything collapsed. Another proverb, Proverbs 23:5. When you set your eyes on it, on money, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. It's sad when money flies away. I was thinking of this little illustration. You know, it's one of my $10 bills. But how easy it is. You know, you have a little money and you think, oh, man. Of course, today $10 doesn't go very far. But you think, oh man, it's here today, gone tomorrow, right? It's amazing how fast money goes. It flies away like a bird. May we not put our hope and try to find our security in money, in wealth. Obviously, we thank the Lord when He provides money. We thank Him for that. But we're not to put our ultimate trust in that money. Ultimately, our trust is in it to be in God. F.B. Meyer concluded, don't trust in men or money. Now, God may use them as an aid. You may have a good friend and they help you out in a situation. You thank the Lord for that, right? But they are an instrument in God's hand. So ultimately, our trust is in the Lord. God may provide funds, but ultimately, God is the one that provided the funds. So we trust not in the money, not in men, but in the Lord. He's our source of security. He's where we place our confidence. We're not to trust in men or in the futile things that men hold on to or that men promise. There was historically, there was a man by the name of Thomas Wentworth. He carried a document signed by King Charles I. This is years and years ago, which read, "Upon the word of a king, you shall not suffer in life, honor, or fortune." Shortly afterwards, however, his death warrant was signed by the same monarch. Thomas Wentworth's last words, "Put your trust not in princes." You see, we are to trust in the Lord. Now, obviously, God may use really kind people to help us, but ultimately, our trust is to be in the Lord. Why can we trust God? He not only exhorts us, but he gives us an explanation for trusting the Lord alone. He says this in verse 11 of Psalm 62. "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this." David's speaking of God's revelation, and he says, "Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God." He is the God of power. He is the one that can make things happen. He's the power. We read this section, as one commentator says, "If we need strength, we shall find it, not in men, who is but as a fleeting vapor, but in God who is almighty." And then Jeremiah 32:17 says this, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth." Now just think, just step out, just look into God's beautiful world, into the sky, into the growth around us. "You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Nothing is too difficult for you. God is all-powerful. We can trust him. We can trust him. Find our security in him. But notice this. He also, verse 12, "And loving kindness is yours, O Lord." Loving kindness is yours. God's loyal, steadfast, faithful love. I appreciate one translation of the word loving kindness, unfailing love. God's love will not fail you. It will not abandon you. It will not let you down. God is devoted to our best in his love for us. And we think of God's love. He gives proof. He gives one statement of proof of God's love that we will see in the future. It says, "For you recompense a man according to his work." You know, God doesn't owe us a thing, does he? No, not a thing. But when we live out our purpose and we live for God in our lives and we do what he wants us to do, whether it's very simple or complex, but as we live it out, the believer will be rewarded. When we enter into our eternal state, we enter into our eternal home. Notice what it says. "For thou," or God, "you recompense a man according to his work." We don't deserve that. But God will reward his kids. He will provide abundant evidence of how much he loves us because he will reward us. Isn't that amazing? God loves us, and his love obviously is ultimately expressed in the death of his son for us. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But once you have trusted Christ, you can never, it says in Romans 8, you can never be separated from the love of God. Never. And that includes forever, eternity. We'll never be separated from his love. So why can't I trust God to have security? Well, because of his great power and his awesome love. I could trust him. He loves me. And that love is going to extend right into eternity. You know, one thing that dawned on me as I've thought about difficulties in life and strains and suffering. You know, we really can't understand suffering until we see it in view of eternity. You know, there are some dear Christians who have gone through absolutely awful things in this life. But you know, when they break through into eternity, they've trusted Christ in time and they break through into eternity, the Lord, through Paul, tells us, it won't even compare. Yeah, there is no comparison of the glory that awaits us from the suffering that we had to endure for a time. God, and that's because of God's love. God's power, God's love. You know what? We can trust Him. He is our security. That's why we can put all of our weight upon Him, because of who He is. He's a powerful God. He's a loving God. We're to trust in Him and Him alone because of His power and because of His love. He is our refuge. Now let me ask you. Are you looking in the wrong places for security, for your refuge? Have you run to the wrong corners of life just hoping that you'll find a bit of security, and when it's all done, you find yourself nowhere. It's all dried up. May we run to the Lord and trust Him at all times, in the good days, the bad days, all days. Why? Because He is a God of all power and awesome love, and He is our refuge. May we trust in Him and in Him alone. Let's pray. God, we thank You that in a world that has fallen apart, we can rest upon You because of Your amazing power, Your amazing love. Help us continually and daily find our security in You. In Jesus' name, amen.